Vectis Radio, FM 104.6. Our broadcasters are all ages and abilities. This is what makes us your local station. VectisRadio.com.
Often in this second hour of the show, we do a little bit of a book review, or we do an inspiring women section. And today we thought we would combine all of those and a little bit more, because there is a project at the moment called the Hidden Heroes Project. And I'm delighted to introduce Judith, who's normally here on a Wednesday afternoon.
Hello, lovely to be with you this afternoon. And thanks for inviting me on, Caroline. I appreciate it. Thank you.
It's a pleasure. We're both really excited about a character called Jo Carstairs. And Jo features in a book called The Queen of Whale Key, and the book was actually published in 1997, but I've only recently become interested in the book, although I had heard of it a few years ago. But there is an Isle of Wight connection, because do you want to start by telling a bit more about the Hidden Heroes project?
Yes, Caroline, thank you. Well, this is a really, really exciting project, which is being backed by the Arts Council of England. And what they've done is they have unearthed a whole group of people with very strong island connections, whether from the arts, from a heritage background, or indeed also a technological background as well. And they have posted the names and details of all these characters, so you can find out more about them online, and we'll give you the website later. But the interesting thing is they have linked each of these personalities with a location on the island as well. So that's sort of very, very clever. So you get a person and a place, or maybe even places. So just to take one example, somebody who's a real favourite of mine is the pioneering Victorian photographer, Julia Margaret Cameron, and we can find out more about her and her works during the course of this project. And of course we can visit Dimbola Lodge in Freshwater, which was her home for many years. And in addition to giving us details of the locales with which these people were connected, there are also going to be some specialised and very, very exciting exhibitions coming up. So Caroline and I will be talking in a moment about Jo Carstairs, and there's going to be an exhibition about her at the Classic Boat Museum opening on the 9th of February. And there will also be an exhibition here in Newport at Key Arts running from the 10th of February until the 24th of March about a number of the Isle of Wight's hidden heroes. I think this is a really exciting project, Caroline, not just for us as residents of the island, but lovely for visitors too. So if you're coming over on holiday or to visit family, you can check out the website, and I'll give you that now. It's www.hiddenheroes.org.uk. You can find out more about these amazing personalities, the influence that they've had nationally and indeed internationally. You can visit the locations with which they're associated, and you can go to these amazing exhibitions.
It's fantastic, isn't it? And I mean, I must admit, when I heard about Jo Carstairs and I saw the book The Queen of Whale Key, and I heard there was an Isle of Wight connection, the cynical side of me thought, well, perhaps she just sailed through the Solent. But as we will find out, there was a lot more to it than that, because her boat was actually built here in East Cowes at the Saunders Boatyard.
Yes.
Which was a huge thing at the time.
Absolutely, and it was and her boats, they were pioneering, groundbreaking designs, weren't they,
as well?
Which really put the Isle of Wight boatyards at the forefront of boat building at that time.
Something we kind of take for granted, yes, isn't it, living on the island?
Yes. And also, if like me, you don't sail, it all seems a bit esoteric.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But we found out more, so we'll be able to tell you all about it.
Great. We'll break for some music, and then we'll talk a little bit more. Taylor Swift and a song called Gorgeous. Well, I'm here with Judith, and we're talking all about Jo Carstairs, who features in a book that I really enjoyed called The Queen of Whale Key. And the book's written by somebody called Kate Summerscale, and you might know that name because she also wrote a book called The Suspicions of Mr. Witcher, which was a best-selling book, wasn't it?
It did
very, very well.
It was, and I think it was adapted for television as
it
well.
It was, yeah. I'm glad you said that. Yeah. I was thinking it probably was. And what did you think of the book, Judith? Did you enjoy it?
I really enjoyed the book. And I have to thank you, Caroline, for introducing me to Jo Carstairs, because I have to confess I hadn't heard of her before, and I hadn't heard of this book before. I love biographies because I think you learn a lot, not just about the subject of the biography, but also about their times as well, the history and more particularly the social history.
I was interested in the book because she's an independent, feisty lesbian in the 1920s.
Yes.
With a huge character.
Yes.
And she's quite unique in a way because she was also very, very wealthy. She was an heiress. And she just followed her own instinct. And I was thinking very much about how she would have identified nowadays, because she was a gay woman who wore men's clothes, yes, and dressed as a man.
Yes.
And behaved in a very masculine way. I mean, yes, she would shoot guns and cut the head off a snake and all sorts of things. So I was interested from that side, that point of view. But she's a really colourful character, interesting to read about.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think, as we were saying off air, Caroline, and I don't want to detract from any of Jo's achievements, which were considerable. She was, though, wasn't she, in a position where she could follow her dreams. You know, her mother was an American oil heiress. Jo Carstairs seems to have inherited almost limitless wealth. And I think life would have been a lot easier for her as a gay woman in the early 20th century than it would have been for say, working class gay women or women without such financial means.
Definitely. And she just did what she wanted.
Yes.
I mean, she had numerous relationships with all sorts of women.
Yes.
And had a fabulous lifestyle.
Yes. I think in a way, you know, the 1920s must have been her best decade, really, because she had served in various capacities in the First World War very bravely and working incredibly hard. And with all her wealth, that was something she didn't need to have done, and she chose to do that. And in the 20s, she came back to London. There were 2 million more women in Britain at that time than men because of the terrible slaughter of soldiers during the First World War.
That's incredible. Itself, isn't it? You can't imagine what that must have been like.
Absolutely. And it was a time when society at large was happy to accept women in men's roles, because cynically they needed them. They needed women to replace men in the workforce. But that spilt over, though, into social mores as well, and also into fashion, because that was the highlight of the androgynous look, you know, those very beautiful 20s dresses with the dropped hemlines, which kind of even out all those female
curves.
That's
right, yeah.
You know, the short hair, which was quite scandalous in some quarters when women were having their hair bobbed or even shingled. And I think it was a decade, you know, the roaring 20s, when anything went. And if you were a wealthy woman living in London at that point, moving in the right sort of social circles, it was perfectly acceptable to be gay, I think.
It was. And the photographs in the book, if you get a chance to have a look at the book, there are some amazing photographs,
yes,
in there.
Yeah, and what I really love, though, is that, talking of photographs, Jo Carstairs was born in 1900 in London to an American mother, a Scottish father. So she was born at the very end of the reign of Queen Victoria, who died the following year, 1901. And those early photographs of Jo Carstairs, she looks like the archetypal little Victorian girl.
Yeah, she does.
And then you see the transition as she grows up, develops her style, and then is dressing in men's clothes.
Yes. Yeah.
And I found the sort of photographic record really, really interesting.
Yeah, it's a great book. I really enjoyed it. I would recommend the book to anybody, really, not just because of the Isle of Wight connection, but you know, it stands on its own as a record of the times and the fashion, and somebody who sort of followed their own instincts and didn't sort of follow the crowd and did what she wanted.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have to say, and I it's, you know, if you're looking, it's quite a light read. I don't mean that in a bad way, I mean that in a good way. And it's not too long a read either. It's a reasonably short book. And again, I mean that in a positive way. But it is quite thin in some ways, I think, and there's a lot of conjecture. And that's not really the fault of the author, because as we were saying off-air before the programme started, Jo Carstairs left very little documentary evidence about her life. She was, I think, a woman of action, rather
Definitely.
Than a woman of intellect and introspection. I don't think she was the sort of woman who sat down at the end of each day and confided her thoughts and self-analysis into her diary.
Not at all.
But I was very lucky a couple of weeks ago. I went over to the Classic Book Museum here on the island at East Cowes, and they let me have a look in their archives. And I was lucky enough to see some notebooks which Jo Carstairs herself had put together with press cuttings about her from various periods of her life. And it really brought it all alive. And if anybody listening has a chance to have a peek at those, I would highly, highly recommend it.
Fantastic. We'll break for the adverts and we'll hear a track from Alanis Morissette. That seems quite appropriate, doesn't it? And then we'll talk a little bit more. That's a track from the 90s. It's Alanis Morissette. It's not ironic. It's a track called Everything. And Judith and I are here talking all about Jo Carstairs, who features in a book called The Queen of Whale Key. And we've been talking about how much we enjoyed the book. And I must admit, when I first picked the book up, I thought the Isle of Wight connection might be something really tenuous. I thought perhaps she might have sailed through the Solent or been to the Needles on holiday or something. But actually, there's a lot more about the island in the book than I first anticipated.
Yes, I agree, Caroline. I was amazed to learn that Jo Carstairs had lived, in fact, on the Isle of Wight in the 1920s, and she had commissioned powerboats from the celebrated boat builder Sammy Saunders. And I understand that Jo Carstairs was once called the fastest woman on the water and broke the world record for motorboat racing in 1926.
She was very, very competitive and very fearless, wasn't she?
Yes. I think that powerboat racing in the 1920s really was not for the faint-hearted. It was then, and may still be, a hugely dangerous sport. And certainly at that time, you didn't really expect to see women competing in this sort of event. However, as we were saying, she was sort of really motivated by speed. And I think she was somebody who was very competitive, wanted to be the fastest, wanted to be the best. And she invested a lot of money into building several powerboats.
Yes, I thought she was an amazing character. And the book, I don't know, I got a really good feeling when I read about the island, especially East Cowes, because East Cowes, I suppose we mentioned East Cowes in connection with Osborne House, but East Cowes is only a small town, isn't it, on the island? It's not Newport, it's not Cowes, it's a small area. And it was nice to see that that was mentioned and talked about, and the boatyard itself.
Yes, absolutely. From what I gather from the book and the other sources I've read about Jo Carstairs, it really was, and I think perhaps in large part thanks to her, the hub of the powerboat building industry in the 1920s. It was a revolutionary time for powerboat building, and I think for boat building generally, but particularly for powerboats. And I was really quite amazed to read that the wood that was used for one of Jo Carstairs' powerboats that was built here at East Cowes was so thin and so pliant that it bulged in the water every time it hit a wave. Now, can you imagine how terrifying that must have been? You're just sort of expecting it to split. And a real credit to the island boat builders that it didn't.
Absolutely.
And there's just one thing I think, Caroline, I should have mentioned to our readers before we started, that the book is called The Queen of Whale Key. Perhaps we should just explain briefly what Whale Key is. It is, in fact, an island in the Bahamas, then known as the British West Indies, which Jo Carstairs bought as a private island and set up something of a fiefdom there. And perhaps we'll have time to talk about that later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. She had numerous relationships with women, some of them very, very famous. Tallulah Bankhead was one of them.
And Greta Garbo, and also Marlene Dietrich, who is one of my all-time faves. And in fact, I think Marlene Dietrich was a visitor to Whale Key and spent some time there with Jo Carstairs. And I think in a minute we're going to hear one of my favourite Marlene Dietrich tracks, which is, of course, Lily Marlene. It is the German version. And I don't know if I've got time, Caroline, to give a little bit of background to this song. Okay, the lyrics of this song come from a poem which was written in the First World War by a German soldier and addressed to his two girlfriends, Lily and Marlene. And a German composer set this to music in 1937 to the music we know today. And during the Second World War, it was adopted by the German troops with huge enthusiasm. In about the 1940s, the propaganda unit of the United States invited Marlene Dietrich to record the song because the Allies were loving it too, and they wanted, this was a bit of a counterattack. And because the song then was recorded by Marlene Dietrich, the title of the song was changed from Lily Marlene to Lily Marlene.
Ah, I see. Thanks for that introduction. Have a listen to this. This sets the tone very nicely at 3:15 on the Thursday afternoon. Craig David. He's with Bastille on that track. It's called I Know You. He's kind of reinvented himself, hasn't he, after his big hits. I did like some of his old stuff, but I like Craig David, actually. Great singer. Anyway, where are we? It's 3:08. It's Thursday afternoon. I'm here with Judith, and we're talking all about a fantastic androgynous character called Jo Carstairs, who features in a book called Queen of Whale Key. And the book's almost in two halves, would you say, Judith? And the Whale Key is the sort of the second half,
yes,
of the book. She buys the island.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we were talking about how the 1920s really seemed to be Jo's decade, and when women with her aspirations and her attitude, indeed her sexuality, were really adopted by London society, certainly in certain parts of London society. And she was the queen of the powerboat waves, and she was getting rave reviews in the UK press, in the US press. Everybody loved her. And then suddenly, by the late 1920s, the tide was turning. In the 20s, as we were saying, after the First World War and total devastation and destruction and the loss of so many men, women were embraced and encouraged to do more traditionally male jobs than they'd ever done in the past. But there was a bit of a backlash by the time of the early 1930s, and the press in particular turned against Jo Carstairs, particularly here in the UK, in the way that the British press always seems to turn against people once they've become successful. So by about 1930, Jo was spending very, very little time in Britain. And she went on a world trip to sort of get away from it all, from the press hostility. And in 1934, she bought Whale Key, which is a small island in what is now known as the Bahamas, but was then known as the British West Indies. And she left England for good. Now, in the 1930s, British West Indies was an incredibly depressed region, a lot of poverty, a lot of unemployment. There was only one couple who lived on Whale Key at the time that Jo bought the island, and they were the couple who lived there and kept the lighthouse. Jo, with her usual energy, enthusiasm, and of course money, set about creating her own little empire on this island. She built houses and roads, she planted crops, she opened a store, she built a day school for the children and a night school for the adults, and she built a rather grand house for herself where she entertained her friends, including Marlene Dietrich, very, very lavishly. By the late 1930s, more than 200 people were living on Whale Key. She had regenerated the island to that extent. Now, the population was mainly black Bahamians, and they were overseen by a small white coterie. And I don't know what you thought, Caroline, but it seems to me that this was, in microcosm, the British Empire at work.
Definitely.
So Jo Carstairs, she dealt with the complaints of the islanders. She administered justice. Ironically, she banished adulterers, despite her own rather colourful love life. And the economy which she'd set up, and I'm sorry to sound cynical here, Caroline, was actually circular and self-contained, because the money that Jo paid in wages to the inhabitants of the island, they spent at her store.
That's right.
So she was getting it back. But having said all that, and I know I sound slightly cynical and slightly anti-imperialist, the islanders apparently remembered her with huge affection and respect.
I was just going to say that. They did respect her very much. I know there was one particular chapter in the book that talked about when somebody stole the safe with the money that was set aside to pay the wages for the people on the island, and And Joe asked for that money back, and somebody did bring it back and said they'd found it wrapped up in paper bags.
Yes, and I'm sure they really appreciated, you know, everything that she had done to regenerate the island. And in fact, by the 1940s, there were then 500 inhabitants. So, you know, she did great work there, I think.
She did. Right, we need to break there for the news, which is on the hour at 3 o'clock. And then we will talk a little bit more about Jo Carstairs and her fascinating story. Now, as you get older, you hear a song and it reminds you of something else. And that is one of those songs. It's Lily Allen and a track called Who'd Have Known. And it just reminds me of something else. You can always give us a ring if you know what that song might be on 01983 240666. We're talking all about Jo Carstairs, who's one of Isle of Wight's hidden heroes, part of a project that's funded by the Arts Council and supported by the BBC. And Judith and I have both read a book called The Queen of Whale Key by Kate Summerscale. And Judith's just been telling us about Jo's life and the second half of the book, which focuses on her life in the Bahamas or the British West Indies. And how did it continue?
Well, I think we were saying before the break, Caroline, that by the 1940s, I think Whale Key, this island in the Bahamas, then known as the British West Indies, really was at its most vibrant with Jo Carstairs literally as its queen. There were 500 inhabitants on Whale Key by that time. And if you remember, in 1934, when Jo had bought the island, there were just two inhabitants, the couple who looked after the lighthouse. So, I mean, she had brought about huge improvements with her crop plantations, her medical and her educational establishments and so on. And as we were saying, the inhabitants loved her. For them, she stood for empire, she stood for Britishness, and she stood for hard work. But once again, for poor old Jo, the tide was turning against her. And we were talking earlier about how that had happened before in the 1930s. And by the 1960s, the political situation in the Bahamas generally was changing. Modern political development in the Bahamas and the British West Indies began after the Second World War. And the Bahamas generally and the Bahamians became increasingly anti-colonial. And by 1964, they had achieved self-government. And in 1973, they had achieved full independence within the Commonwealth nations. So the political tide was really turning against Jo once again. So in 1975, she moved on. She sold Whale Key and she retired to Florida. And she lived there very quietly until her death in 1993. And as we said at the beginning of this slot, that by the time of her death in 1993, she really was rather an obscure figure. And her achievements had been largely forgotten
it's
by
sad,
most
really,
people.
It's sad, isn't it, to think?
It is so sad. And she had done so much and lived such an interesting life. And really, there's very little of her left, except there is going to be an exhibition at the Classic Boat Museum in East Cowes starting on the 9th of February, where you will see a number of artefacts that belonged to Jo Carstairs. You will be able to learn more about her story, particularly her life on the Isle of Wight in the 1920s when she was powerboat racing. And I'm sure if you ask nicely, they will let you have a look at the archives as well, where you'll be able to see her own scrapbooks, which were left to the museum by her solicitor, in fact, which contain Jo's cuttings of newspaper clippings relating to her life. And if you ever get a chance to look at those, please, please do. It just brings it all really so vividly to life.
So she really is a true Isle of Wight hidden hero, because we wouldn't have been talking about her had it not been for this project.
Absolutely, and I'm so grateful to the Arts Council and to everybody else who's involved in this amazing project for illuminating all these characters that I certainly wouldn't have come across before. So big thanks to them, and I think it's up to us all to take advantage of this project, see what's on, and pop along and take part.
Fantastic. We'll just have a quick tune from Diana Ross, and then we'll finish off the Joe Carstairs story. Now, if Judith wasn't here, I'd be tempted to sing along to that. Fabulous.
Oh, go on, feel free.
I don't want to frighten anybody. Diana Ross, a brilliant song, Ain't No Mountain High Enough. And I had a bit of a surprise this morning because I went on social media, which I've been told that I'm spending far too long on Facebook and Twitter. I think that's got to be a New Year's resolution to cut that down. But I went on Twitter this morning and there was a tweet from somebody called Phoebe Legere, who I'd never heard of, but was interested in because she's got 22,700 followers on Twitter and is a musician and a performer. And also lives in New York, and it seems, just by coincidence, that the Queen of Whale Key, or Jo Carstairs, is going to be featured in a play in New York. The play is actually going to be called Speed Queen. So hello to any of our American listeners, if you're listening to the show, or if indeed you're listening to the podcast. And I hope you like what we've had to say. But we are very, very interested in the play, and we'd love to talk to you, Phoebe, if you wanted to get in touch with us here at Vectis Radio, and to tell us a little bit about what you're doing. And we'd love to share what we're doing on the Isle of Wight in connection with Jo Carstairs. And the play sounds really interesting.
Yeah, it does, Caroline. And you know, you're being incredibly modest there, because it's thanks to you and your social media skills that Phoebe actually contacted you and got back to us and told us about, I think it's a one-woman play. And it sounds absolutely amazing. And we really, really hope that we'll be able to do a phone-in interview with Phoebe in the not-too-distant future. And maybe, you know, hoping against hope, Phoebe might even be able to bring her show to the Isle of Wight.
That would be great.
And what is so amazing, it's, you know, so serendipitous that here we are with the Hidden Heroes Project talking about Jo Carstairs, a woman I'd never heard of before. And in a couple of months' time, there's going to be a play about her in New York. You couldn't make it up.
No, you couldn't. And I did wonder when I woke up and I saw that on Twitter whether it was a genuine thing, but it is a genuine thing, and other people from the United States have also tweeted and followed the story, which is really superb. Is the wonders of modern technology.
Well, yeah, absolutely, and thanks to your amazing skills, Caroline.
Oh, thank
as
you.
Well, and also of course because Jo had such strong American connections herself.
That's right.
Her mother was American. Jo was heir to the American Standard Oil fortune. She spent many, many years of her life living in the States. So I think it's very, very appropriate that there is a play about her in New York coming up. But, you know, it really links up so well with what we're doing here on the island and Jo's contribution to boat building here at East Cowes. A truly sort of international woman. It's incredible.
It is. It's superb. And if you're interested in the story of Jo Carstairs and you can get to the Isle of Wight, we've got some brilliant exhibitions coming up on the 9th of February. There's an exhibition at the Classic Boat Museum in East Cowes, and then Key Arts have got an exhibition in the West Gallery from the 10th of February, and that runs through to March the 24th. The private view there is between 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock, and there's a free family drop-in activity. And the other thing actually that I was going to mention was that soon islanders will be able to submit their own nominations for Hidden Heroes, and they might even have a write-up on the website.
Shall we submit Ian? Except he's not hidden. I mean, everybody knows he's a hero, don't they?
So
maybe he's not such a hidden hero. He's just a hero.
But often heroes are hidden, aren't they?
That's true. That's true.
I mean, I can think of quite a few people who deserve recognition that perhaps haven't got that
yes.
sort of recognition. And, you know, the honour system has highlighted some of those
yes.
people recently in the new year. So that's it, really, as far as my events are concerned. We've got the Key Arts, we've got the Classic Boat Museum, and also we've got the Isle of Wight Hidden Heroes website, which is iwhiddenheroes.org, which will have all the information that you need. I'd like to say thank you very much, Judith, for coming in and doing all the research as well about Joe Carstairs. It's been really interesting to hear what you've learned, and also to hear your take on the book, which is quite not the same as mine. Yeah. We're coming from two different viewpoints, weren't we?
Yeah, well, firstly, Caroline, thank you so much for having me, and thank you for introducing me to Joe Carstairs and to this book, which I would never have read if it hadn't been for you, and I really enjoyed it, and I've learnt a lot. So thank you, and thanks everyone for listening.
Great. We'll finish off with some music, and then we'll have another word from our sponsors.